Hello and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Monday, June 18th, 2018. I'm Benjamin Abaya, and joining me today is once again my electrifying twin brother, John Abaya.
I don't know. Is that a thing?
Yeah, I think that is a thing, but I don't think the sound is like that fast.
Okay, yeah. It's like, yeah. In silence.
Yes.
But yeah.
Anyway, how are you, John?
I'm pretty good. Very excited for this episode. Very just excited overall of what we're going to be discussing. Cool. Yeah.
Cool. Anyway, if you're new to the podcast, we usually discuss and give our impressions of what we watched, listened, played, or read throughout the week, and we conclude the episode with a main discussion. This week's main discussion is once again E3, the Electric Entertainment Expo 2018, but part two. So if you've listened to our previous episodes, we've talked about what we wanted to see or predictions about E3 this year. Now we've got to see it this week. Throughout this week, we had Microsoft, PlayStation, Nintendo, and other developers showcase their games. Now we're going to talk about the ones that we're excited to see from AAA to indie. So that will be exciting. But yeah, before all of that, we'll be once again our trailer talk. This week's trailer talk is the live action adaptation of Dumbo.
We're all family here, no matter how small.
Is your head close to my heart? Never to part.
That is a clip from the trailer of Dumbo. This is directed by Tim Burton, starring Colin Farrell, Michael Keaton, Danny DeVito, Eva Green, and Alan Arkin. From IMDb, once again, is the plot synopsis. A young elephant whose oversized ears enabled him to fly helps save a struggling circus. But when the circus plans a new venture, Dumbo and his friends discover dark secrets beneath its shiny veneer. John, are you a fan of the original Dumbo, and what's your thoughts about this new, you know, Disney once again is doing a live adaptation for one of their beloved classic films? Do you have any thoughts about that?
I'm not really a Dumbo fan. I remember watching it as a kid. Don't really know the story that well. I get Dumbo and Pinocchio mixed up a little bit, like the storyline, I guess, because it's out. Weird story of like a kid or an elephant, but I get confused sometimes with story elements, like the people turning into animals. I know that's Pinocchio, right? So if that's Pinocchio, I have no idea what Dumbo, or I have I don't remember the actual story. I know he gets made fun of and then he tries to prove himself, like, oh, I can fly, so this is my thing, but I don't know who are like the villains and all that. I don't remember any of that stuff in the cartoon. And I'm trying to find I think they released a special edition like a while ago, probably within the last 10 years. But it went back to the Disney Vault. You know how they are.
Yes.
Judging by this trailer, it looks interesting. It's Tim Burton. a lot of the Tim Burton style and that you've seen. I really like the casting of it, especially Michael Keaton and Danny DeVito, like longtime Burton. I guess actors that he always had in there, not a long time, but you haven't seen them in a while in a Tim Burton film. So
since Batman Returns,
yes, for Michael Keaton, I believe, right? I think Danny DeVito did something else in
Batman Returns.
That was it only for.
Oh wait, no, I meant like all three of them together.
Oh yeah, yes, Batman all Returns. Three of them together. Yeah. But I think Danny DeVito did another movie with him in the last.
Oh yeah, I think he's done. A handful of films
with him in it, but yeah. Like little cameos here and there. It's not like a full thing, but yeah, I'm excited for that. I really want to see how this movie plays out. I don't know, so in the trailer, does it seem like he's talking a lot, the Dumbo?
No. I don't think they even hinted on
that. Yeah, it seems like it's not doing the thing that Jungle Book does. It looks like he doesn't talk. It's just like an elephant, and then the actors are communicating the story, more or less, I guess, in the thing. Now I'm wondering, more interested of how that's going to play out, because in the next couple of years, we're going to get Dumbo, Lion King, I believe is the next one. So
will kids be kind of confused of like, hey, wait, why are these animals talking?
Yeah. No, well, not confused. It would be awesome if none of them talk, and that it's like, what's his name? Who got cast recently as Simba, as young Simba or older Simba. I forgot which one's which. Donald Glover. All it is in Lion King is roar, roar, and it's translated.
Oh, yeah. It's like a silence film with animals.
But but just by the trailer, I know this is like a teaser trailer, so it doesn't show any of the elements of the story. It's more visual style. I really like the visual style. They're getting better every movie, it seems like, Disney, with since Jungle Book, then now. I mean, besides like the puppy-eyed eyes of Dumbo, like it's very animated still. Like you can tell it's not an actual animal. It still looks really wonderful, and looking forward to it.
Cool. I'm also looking forward to it. Of course, once again, it looks fantastic. I think Tim Burton is not doing his dark imagery as much nowadays. He's really going for like the Alice in Wonderland. Like, there's hints of it there, here and there, when it comes to the costume. But once again, it's like something magical about seeing like an elephant soaring through like a circus tent. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of cool. And like you, I'm mostly excited to see Michael Keaton in a wig, acting menacing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Again, and Danny DeVito with his top hat. That's always like a delightful thing to see.
He's back in the game.
Last time we saw that,
he takes it out of his own penguin veto vote. I don't know how to say that. Veto vault, I guess.
Danny DeVito vote.
DeVito vault.
Yeah. But otherwise, I might watch it in theaters. I don't know. I haven't been watching a lot of like the Disney films that are live adaptations to. I think the last one was probably, what was the last one?
Jungle Book? I think the last one was...
Beauty and the Beast? I didn't watch the time one. A Wrinkle in Time. Yeah, but that's more, they never made like an original.
Oh, you mean, okay. So yeah.
Yeah, like I live action adaptation, yeah. But that is coming out sometime next year. I'm pretty sure it's probably like, did it say in the trailer when is it going to come out?
I remember, actually.
Oh, March of next year. Okay. So that would be kind of cool. Moving on, have you been doing anything this week, John?
I've been playing Fortnite on my Nintendo Switch, Ben. So it recently announced after E3 that we'll get into it. I mean, it's not my top game of E3, but I was always been looking forward for a Battle Royale game. And then I was happy that on same day when they announced this, the Nintendo press conference or Nintendo Digital Direct, wherever you want to call it, they actually said, oh, it's out today. So I download that free download game, I guess, and then start playing it. It does have, it's like Fortnite. If you played Fortnite, it's exactly, there's no like special Nintendo version where you get to wear Mario's hat or anything like that. That would be cool though, like Mario's overalls and stuff like that, or Waluigi and stuff like that.
I'm pretty sure they might. I mean, well, no, because it's cross-platform.
Yes, but you can play only, it's cross-platform, but you can put in the settings only Nintendo players. But it would be cool to know, like, oh, this person is a Nintendo player because he has a Mario skin and vice versa.
Oh, and have probably rivals.
Yeah, but then it would be suck because it's Epic. If your account is tied to that, it's not tied to your system. You get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah,
that's
true, yeah.
They probably won't do that. Maybe something similar. I've been playing a lot of games. I probably put in already 5 hours in this thing. I think one night when on the Friday night. So it released, I believe, Tuesday day. I didn't get to play the week until Friday night. And I played more than probably like a couple hours online late at night with my cousins and their friends. While they were playing, one of my cousins is playing on the PC, shout out to Greg, and then the other cousin, Philip, was just playing the Switch with me. And I was playing on the TV, and I have this weird setup because There is no audio jack or headphone jack on the Nintendo, on the controllers, and actual controllers in the Nintendo Switch on the Joy-Cons or anything like that. So what you have to do is you have to play in handheld mode and connect your any headphone jack in there with a mic, and you can play it. But it's very difficult because that screen is very small, especially you play games like this, you know, like PUBG and Battle Royale. It's harder to play the game because you need that draw distance, especially if you see a character far away. I end up doing is this weird thing where I bought an extension cord, but I had an extension cord, and because my Nintendo Switch is located near my TV, I had to extend it all the way to where my couch, and I put my Switch on the dock, and I was sitting in front of it, and my headphone jack is connected to there, and I was playing on the TV still with my wireless controller, and then it is very, can you imagine in a day and age you have to bring your Xbox One close to you because that's the only way you could play
the game, yeah.
No, play with audio, with a headset and stuff like that. Instead,
I think once they do like their redesign of the Switch, mm-hmm. they should just connect it, yep. the audio portion on like the Joy-Con.
Yes. So usually Nintendo, if it's a Nintendo game, they have the app, Nintendo app, where you have to connect your phone to the app and then play like that. It's very like, it's just insane the way they do it, because they do that with Splatoon, but we never played it like that because you have to make sure that app is running at all times. I didn't like that way, so we never done it. Overall, it's Fortnite. It's whatever you think. It's kind of hard for me because I was used to, I played on the PC. I liked it on the PC because it's so easy to use your hotkeys and all that stuff, the keyboard, so many buttons. This one, you have to get used to the shoulder buttons and stuff like that. It's harder. It's slower to build, harder to try to aim at someone, but you can move the joystick. And yeah, I'm still getting used to, but I'm enjoying it right now. For your information, Ben, I actually dropped PUBG for mobile. I'm not playing that anymore because I have I have Battle Royale with me now. So yeah, that's all I've been doing all week. Oh, wait, there's something else. I think you're going to bring it up that we actually both watched.
Oh, yes. I actually wasn't going to bring it up, but we can bring it up.
Yeah, so we both watched the movie
Hereditary.
Yes, Hereditary. It's a new film, but I believe he's a new director and writer, right, in the film. I've never seen anything he's done. I know he has like a short film.
He's done, yeah, it's his first, I think it's his featured debut of a film, and it's directed by Ari Aster.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is written and directed by him. Mm-hmm. And he's done short films, you can find them online, which are equally, like, sickening and whatnot.
Really? Yeah, have you watched all of it, or?
I watched I think he only has, like, two.
Okay.
The first one was very, like, at the time when it came out, I think a lot of people were sharing that short film because it was just way out there where people didn't understand why this was made and whatnot. I'm trying to actually find what the title of the film right now.
Mm-hmm.
The Strange Thing About the Johnsons,
okay,
is one. Yeah. And then he's made like countless short films throughout the years since 2011. So this is like, and each one has their like unique little twists and like has some sort of, you know, like a very you know, problematic, I guess, plot, I guess you could say.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to like give away a lot of it, but yeah.
Yeah. So I believe we did a trailer talk. I don't remember if we have done this. We did so many episodes. I don't know if we did a trailer talk for this.
I don't think we did this one, no.
So if you have never heard of this movie, it stars Alex Wolff, Gabriel Byrne, Tony Collette. I can't even say her name. And Millie Shapiro, right? That's how you say her name.
I think Millie Shapiro. Toni Collette.
Yes. She's wonderful. I've liked her performance throughout the years. There's also other actors. If you're fans of certain shows, like we are, especially The Leftovers, there's one particular actress that's in this movie or that really is really great.
Which I didn't know she was in it.
Same here.
The minute you know she's in here. Yeah, she's not even in the cast list.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah.
Wow. And then, Yeah. So the basic plot is, I don't want to give too much away, but it's a grieving family. A family member dies. I believe it's the mother of the main actress, Toni Collette, Annie. Then the family is basically haunted by the tragic and disturbing occurrences start happening. And it is a horror movie, basically. My general thoughts of the movie, I really loved it. It's a horror movie that I want. The typical horror movie that I always want, like these type of movies. Like, I'm going in, since Cabin in the Woods, there's a lot of things I question about horror movies, especially the structure and stuff like that. This one does a great job of building that tension in a horror movie and then releasing it in the way that it feels very, like, old school. I don't know how you describe it, but it feels like it builds up, and it releases that tension so well that you get surprised, and it just builds on that. After releasing that tension, it just builds on that same tension and just makes you question everything. And yeah, it's a very it's oddly scary at times, and sometimes it's funny. I don't know. It's just a movie I wasn't expecting at all to blow me away of the way the story and everything went. And there's scenes in here that literally got me cringed, but surprised me to the point where I was like just crawling around my seat next to my wife, just like, oh, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe this movie's doing this. There's so many like roads this movie goes to that I didn't expect. It's just like a really surprise for me, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, you could actually read my thoughts for some of the things on Letterboxd if you want to. But I equally enjoyed it as much as you did. I think there is, especially for A24, where they have all these horror films that are really horrific. Like, it will last in your memory for quite some time. Mm-hmm. That I'm glad that they're like releasing. And then you have other horror films like The Babadook or Get Out that's equally as great, and it's like a new renaissance for horror films right now. Mm-hmm. where you could be a funny film and be horror, and you know, or dramatic film and be horror. It's kind of cool.
It's like
to be a horror fan right
now. Blumhouse and A24 is like killing it in the horror genre right now.
Yeah.
No pun intended, I don't know.
Yes.
But yeah.
Fun fact, like, I didn't know, like, Toni Collette, like, she was the mother of Haley Joel in The Sixth Sense.
What? Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember her.
And so she started her supernatural, you know, horror career with that film.
Oh, right? She plays like a whole different character in that. Like a temperate character that I've never seen. I don't remember. I kind of remember how she is in that movie. Like it's like single mom trying to get through stuff. Like, yeah, I kind of remember her character in there.
So it's kind of cool that there's kind of probably like a trilogy somewhere, I want to say, like among like horror films, where she's the mother that has to like endure the horrors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. Well, she was in Hitchcock.
Who did she play in there? I believe the wife.
A girl named Peggy.
Oh,
I don't know who that is. I actually never watched that film.
It's a good film.
I mean, the closest thing is that her playing a mother again is in Fright Night. She was the mother of Anton Yelchin's.
I mean, character. And overall playing a mother, but she plays a mother in other films too.
Yeah, but no, I mean,
Yeah.
Like, once again, she's playing a mother in a horror film. Mm-hmm. So that's the trilogy right there, The Sixth Sense, Fright Night, and Hereditary.
Okay, let's build on that. We call it the Coletta trilogy, or what was it, Edgar Wright?
Colette. I think her last.
No, Edgar Wright's trilogy. Something with ice cream.
Oh yeah, that is like it's. I forgot the name of it, but yeah. Anyway, moving on from that, so we really encourage everyone to watch that film, mm-hmm. Hereditary. Out in theaters right now. Anyway, so I also watched something that actually was released on Saturday night. Album is called Everything Is Love. It's a collaborative album from the duo, drum roll, I don't know, that's a good drum, Beyonce and Jay-Z, which was dropped Saturday night on their music streaming service Tidal. So overall, like the countless albums this year. It's a short but worthy album that showcases what they, why they are like a force to be reckoned with. Like I said, like this album only consists of like I think 9 songs, so it's about 30 minutes, like most albums nowadays. I do find it amazing how they could balance like that tightrope of capitalism because they own like Tidal, and while their music is still liberating, that's kind of cool that they have that. And I do love how they use this art form like a way of a therapy session for their marriage. And you do catch like the nuances in their lyrics, especially like the last song, Love Happy, which feels like the end of a trilogy of albums that began with Beyonce's Lemonade, then Jay-Z's 444. So yeah, that is Everything Is Love. They do have a video out for one of their songs, Ape Shit, which was filmed in the Louvre, museum in France.
No wonder I see that picture floating around with them in front of the Mona Lisa.
Yeah, so it's kind of amazing because I think it's rare for anyone to film there just because everything costs billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm. And they're like, we cost billions of dollars.
Yeah, and then everything about it is like the video itself is like a continuation of like their beautiful collaboration in art and marriage. So it's kind of cool to see like the imagery. It's very like unforgettable but yet exquisite. And then in that song particularly, like Jay-Z is also calling out like the NFL and Beyonce's rapping. Overall, it's like incredible to see these two. They're prepping for their tour this year, so I understand why they did this collaboration, because they have music in their tour too. Mm-hmm. Aside from like their projects when they're, you know, as a single artist too. So that is Everything Is Love. You do need a Tidal account, so that's the only way you can listen to it. If you want, I could hit you up. I could probably give you my username and password.
Wow, Ben, you're just open to our listeners. Oh, any listener can have my username and password.
Yeah. Yep. I'm open for that. The first one to reply will get my username and password. That's it. Moving on to our main discussion. So like we said, like we're going to go dive into part two of us discussing E3 this past week. We're going to go, like, how many games do you have on your list right now, John?
I have a whole bunch, but I can probably just say 3 of my favorite ones.
We'll go back and forth.
Yes, how about that?
So I have 3. Okay. You probably have 2 or 3 too, right?
Yes. Probably one of them really is actually similar to yours, so...
Okay, so really quick, one of the games I'm most like anticipating, and then I saw we all saw the trailer prior to actually E3, they announced it like a couple days before E3. So it's the game Tetris Effect. It's a game by Enhanced Games, who created the Res Infinite and Luminous remastered. For everyone that wants to know what's their selection from their studio. Anyway, they are back with this, you know, everyone's favorite puzzle game, but with psychedelic visuals. And this time it will be also fully immersed in virtual reality, I was told. But it's also, I read that it's also going to be optional. But I think the trailer is effective because the music, like most Tetris games, is also like quite special. I think the trailer song is like hypnotizing, that you do feel like you have the Tetris effect. And for those who don't know where the titles derives from, it's actually like a syndrome that people have. If you devote so much time and attention to a certain activity, you start to see patterns through your like thoughts and your mental images and dreams and whatnot. So they do explain that in the actual trailer, like what is the Tetris effect. And then I think once you play this game, you will be immersed in that effect. So that's kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Are you looking forward to this game?
Yeah. When I saw it debut, the visual, I did not know what was showing. Like when they first reveal it, I was like, oh, it looks like a, you know, one of those audio games. And then all of a sudden you hear the narration of the actual experiment, I guess, the audio part of it, telling you about the effect, you know, this Tetris
the narration
event. Yes. And then I was like, oh, it's Tetris. And they, you know, when the little narrating say like, we kept on seeing cubes and line disappearing and whatnot, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then I really want to see how this is in VR, because it looks really trippy the way I can only imagine. I recently just played PS VR, and it is cool. It actually made me dizzy at one point because I was playing a game where I was the head of this body, and we're I think it's called the lunge or lounge, that thing where you're like a skateboard and you're going downhill. Lying down a skateboard. I don't know what this is called. The luge, I think. I believe. And that made me super dizzy, and the game is probably like less than 5 minutes long. And yeah, but this one is up my speed because you're not moving your head. It doesn't seem like you're moving your head a lot. It's just you're just immersed into the game itself with the VR.
Yeah, like I said, I'm excited to play this game. Even though I don't have a PS4, I'm excited someone will buy it and we could probably play it from their system. Anyway, what is your pick? One of your picks?
Oh, one of my picks is actually is a game that reminds me a lot of Zelda. I believe this is one of yours too. It is Tunic. They announced it is for the Xbox. I really want to see this game. It is it has a very animated look to it. You're this little fox guy that has a shield, a sword, and a little green tunic, like someone, you know, with the letter L. Link. But it has this very cool world looking thing. I don't know how you say it. The it's a tilt camera where do you know like the style it's called?
I'm assuming it's bird's eye view.
I guess it's bird's eye view, but it's tilted the camera a little bit because you can only see a certain amount of the view and stuff like that. But
the space you're traveling.
But it looks tougher than Zelda. It has the Link to the Past style of like gameplay, it seems like, where you get weapons and this does this. But it actually has a sword battling system, so it's a mix of, you know, the current Zelda games and the old, and you're still going around. But it has a very huge landscape that I've never seen before. I mean, in Zelda, besides Breath of the Wild, but in the 2D games of Zelda, the lands are not this huge the way they portray it in Tunic. And it's kind of cute too that you're this little fox and you're actually battling other animals too, so it's kind of cool. It's not just human beings and stuff like that. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that, and it's one of the reasons I'm debating should I get a PS4 or Xbox One. And right now there's like more checks in the PS4 versus the Xbox One, but if this is only coming to the Xbox One and not Nintendo or PS4, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Cool. Yeah, like you said, it reminds me of Legend of Zelda, and specifically A Link to the Past and Link Between Worlds. And like playing this anthropomorphic fox is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Like, you're exploring like dense and vast maps, which are like also have temples and whatnot. So the art direction and overall gameplay looks promising. I would love to see like a Zelda-esque game on Xbox One and actually play it. So that's kind of cool. But yeah, so we could move on to one of my games is Sable, which is developed by Shedworks. Like the trailer music for Tetris Effect, this also is intoxicating. So like the band that is playing on that is Japanese Breakfast. The song is called Glider. They specifically made this song for, like, I think they're doing the soundtrack for Sable, which is really cool. I could listen to that song also endlessly with like the Tetris Effect song. As for the aesthetic, it draws heavily from artist Jean Giraud. I don't know if you ever heard of him. People know him as Mobius.
Mm-hmm.
In the art world. Like, I think you're a fan of Nowhere Man, right?
Yes, yes.
And then Nowhere Man is inspired by his art too. Like, it's very detailed, but they use very pastel colors, mm-hmm, and whatnot. The game itself looks fluid in motion, so it looks like an actual, like, I love how games now, like especially anime games, where they look like anime coming to life now. Like, you don't see the little, it's all seamless now. And from the description, it seems like you play like the titular character, which is like a young girl named Sable. And you're out on the pilgrimage.
I have no idea.
well, it's like a rite of passage, basically. Uh-huh. Yeah, just just, you know, like with Tunic, I'm hoping it's going to be promising just because I love like these small games more than like AAA games, just because I could take my time investing in these games. That's why. So do you have another game? Or what, you have any thoughts on Sable?
It looks cool. I love the visual style of it, the way it looks like you said, like it's almost like cell shaded, but mixed up with this weird art style, like the colors and stuff like that. But I hope it plays like that and not, you know, I hope the style is like that throughout all the development, because that's just a trailer. I don't know if there's actual gameplay yet that I've seen. I've been trying to find like gameplay for that, but I haven't found any online
for Sable.
Yeah, is there any?
I think there is.
Okay, but I haven't seen any. Like I've been trying to look for it. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that game too.
So do you have another game?
So there's many games, like I said, but I'm going off this game only because so there's no gameplay of this game too out there. There's only a trailer. I've been looking forward to this game a lot, or for a while, since it was like, I believe announced like in 2015 with like this weird teaser trailer of this woman coming apart and with like robot parts, and he has like a whole bunch of arms, and police is like gathering around her, and she's like half naked and whatnot. And the game that I'm talking about is Cyberpunk 2077. So it looks like your typical game where you're going around, you know, you're a little RPG adventure game in first person. I believe the developer, also CD Projekt Red, also makes the Witcher games, and this is their follow up from the Witcher games. I think it's it's not a remake, but it's a I don't know how you say it, like a reboot of the Cyberpunk game that originally came out a while ago, a long time ago actually. And just the aesthetic, what was that?
No, I was just laughing.
Oh, okay. Just the aesthetic of the way they show Cyberpunk, it looks really cool. They have this balance of like Blade Runner, Fifth Element is in there a little bit RoboCop, like all this stuff, they're blending it all together. But at the same time, it doesn't look like that. Like it reminds you of that. And I think that's a good way to, you know, to make a game, to have that feel of that nostalgia, but at the same time making your own. I'm just looking forward. What I've heard from like the gaming podcast I've listened to, mostly Waypoint, because they're very excited about the game, Austin Walker and Patrick on Waypoint, it is a game that basically it looks really cool. They said the way it, the choices you make, the way you customize your player. I believe if you listen to, I forgot which episode of Waypoint is it, they say it's a very fluid game, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then the way they describe it, like you can be all these different things, you could be a robot, this woman, and all this stuff, and I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting the way. And then there's like certain areas, I believe you play as this very like bad character, like you live in this world where the society looks down on you, and you're there's this weird classic, or not class, I forget how you say it, classes type of system in the game.
Classism
in the game that most games don't really talk about, and then you're trying to like build up to be in the higher class, but at the same time, are you going to be are you going to leave your friends behind, and or the people that you trusted before? And yeah, it's very interesting the way they talk about the game, and just from them hyping it up, it makes me looking more forward to it. And just visually too, I really like the way it looks, especially just the trailer. Like I said, same thing. There's no actual gameplay footage yet. There is, I guess, I believe there's like a 1 hour demo that's going around E3 last week that people played, and a lot of people really like the game. But yeah, just judging by that, I'm looking forward to this game. And it's also coming out to the PS4, so another little dash in the PS4 side. But yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to mention something.
No, that's it.
Cool. I'm also looking forward to the game. Same echoes of you, I guess. Like you said, there's no gameplay. Like, it looks cool, but I just want to see what's the game about. From what I read, it's most likely like a first-person shooter.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yeah.
From what I read.
With a lot of story, though, they said.
Yeah, with a lot of story. So looking forward to that. That comes out next year. It might be delayed, too. So if they don't have enough gameplay, yeah. Anyway, where can they find you on the internet?
They can find me at the most organized Twitter feed of 2018 at Abaya Arts. And if you want to add me on any, I guess, gaming platform, if you want to play with me on, especially on Fortnite right now, it is Abaya Arts too. It was a very...
Abaya Arts like number two.
No, I'm sorry. Oh. Abaya Arts. That's it. I have to say, it was very difficult because... You can a long time ago, I connected my PS4 account. I don't have a PS4 or a PlayStation account. I don't have a PlayStation account, but I had to get a BioArts screen name. So I got that in the PlayStation, and somehow I connected that to my Epic account, and you couldn't connect your Switch account because my PS4 account was connected to it. So I have to like disconnect that, but it is very difficult just to play Fortnite on the Switch. I had to make two accounts just to do this, and then my other account, I won't say what is it, but it's just silly at the time. But yeah, you can catch me on there.
Oh, yeah. You can find me on, actually on all the, on Xbox One at Benjamin Abaya if you want to play with me too. But also in Instagram and Twitter and Letterboxd. So I've been writing some of my thoughts about films on there. So befriend me. Make some comments if you want, but overall, we're all good. You can find all of us on thefreakingawesomebot.com. You can find our episodes on iTunes and any podcast service. And you can find us also on Twitter and Facebook. On Twitter, TFA Now, and on Facebook, the Freaking Awesome. That's it, John. I'm Benjamin Abaya.
I'm John Abaya.
And this has been the Freaking Awesome Podcast.